Good morning, everyone. We're so glad you could join us this morning, Sunday, January 27th, 2019. This is the roundtable discussion, and we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America, and we welcome you all. And we will start this morning with our morning prayer.
From page 61 of the Blue Book. Father, teach me how to still the clamoring of sense and fill my place as listener, that I may hear thy voice and grow to understand thy word and so become thy messenger. Then teach me how to banish pride and stubborn will, that I may be thy representative, with no false sense of human zeal, that every word may bless and heal when I thy message give. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. And miscellaneous writings, Mary Baker Eddy. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind, for then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. Our subject today is truth. The golden text is Psalm 119. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. We'll start with a watching point.
Watch number 205. Watch lest you spend all your days in striving to improve the old man, believing he can be made fit to stand in the very presence of God. The purification of mortal mind and body merely represents the sacrifice that we are called upon to make in order that they may be eliminated and the real man may appear. Joseph Mann recorded Mrs. Eddy's words to him as follows, and this is from Mary Baker Eddy, a life-size portrait, first edition. Quote, you must get rid of the old man, the old woman. You cannot make them better and keep them. You are not getting rid of the old man if you try to make him better. If you should succeed in making him better, he would stay with you. If you patch up the old and say it is good enough, you do not put it off, but keep it. If you try to make the old satisfactory, you are preparing to keep it, not to put it off. End quote. These statements would not sound so revolutionary if Mrs. Eddy had said, quote, you must get rid of mortal mind. You cannot make it better and keep it, etc. End quote.
Thank you. Any comments on that?
I think it's quite clear. We're not making model what we've known better, you know, trying to improve it or change it. It's a new day, I would say. It's a new birth we must embrace. You know, what God is what we are. And that's what we have to seek him first and know ourselves as he is.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's exactly what we should do. But it's not always easy, is it?
No, of course not. It's, a, yeah.
And
it's not impossible either. That's why he said we can't do it.
Well, that's just it. It's not impossible because we wouldn't be asked to do it if it weren't possible. It's just, for most of us, you know, it's a huge leap of faith. But what more satisfying task could we ever have than to genuinely put off the old man and the old woman?
I tried for a very long time to make Mary better, to make Mary good. I didn't get this very well for a long time. And it's totally, believe me, it's totally impossible. no matter how hard I tried, no matter how hard I worked, no how many lists I made and goals I made and things I was going to achieve, it was all about Mary. And so I failed miserably until I finally caught on to this. It's death to the old. And yes, a new day, on with the new. And that's by getting rid of your false sense of self, rid of all of this, and embracing the new man, and letting God use you, developing all the spiritual sense we've talked about, getting to know what is the truth about you and embracing it. That's what this whole session will be about. And I think what Florence wrote on the forum goes very well with this. So, Florence? You weren't expecting me to leap over to...
No, not the first.
The science and health.
Oh, I said, what am I? Yeah. I think it's a new learning, isn't it, who we really are. It's from page 288, the chief stones in the temple of Christian Science are to be found in the following postulates: that life is God good and not evil, that soul is sinless, not to be found in the body, that spirit is not and cannot be materialized, that life is not subject to death, that the spiritual real man has no birth, no material life, and no death. Science reveals the glorious possibilities of immortal man, forever unlimited by the mortal senses. The Christ element in the Messiah made him the way-shower, truth, and life. And I said, from what Jesus knew as the real man, created in God's image and likeness, and from what Mrs. Eddy describes as the perfect man, who is a reflection of God, I must accept with the deepest gratitude who I am and live that truth. That man is the perfect, immortal, sinless, forever unlimited by the mortal senses, with no material substance, hence not subject to the material claims of sickness, disease, in harmony. Is this real, perfect man what I am re-educating myself to know as what is true about me? And then I said that when Jesus healed, he spoke to the perfect immortal man whose perfection is changeless, as when he commanded the lame to get up and walk and the withered hand to stretch forth. This is the man that was revealed in Mrs. Eddy's healings from Mark 3 and Matthew 9, the truth, which has given the world this everlasting salvation. So am I daily knowing myself as this perfect man? And Peter V. Ross's article, Simplicity of Metaphysical Practice, it ends with a beautiful paragraph. It says, one moves directly towards freedom, breaking the hypnotism of disease, age, oppression, and disillusion, when he acknowledges that spiritual man, faultless and imperishable, is his very and only self. It is this everlasting man that Christian Science appraises as perfect. This right thinking of the truth about who we are helps make simpler our metaphysical practice.
Thank you. So this is a leap of faith that you have to start with, because this is this truth, and I will quote it again. I quoted it in a testimony, and Diana referred to it. It was Mrs. Eddy, the eternal truth destroys what mortals seem to have learned from error, and man's real existence as a child of God comes to light. This is applying this eternal truth. You have to accept postulates or self-evident. So you accept these postulates on faith at first, because all of the material senses are telling you, no, you're crazy. So you have to take that leap, that step forward, and know this is the truth. Go ahead.
No, I feel that also obeying the first commandment is in a way a help to us in accepting this. Because if God is all, he said there's nothing else, and we have to know that we have this image and likeness, then at least we can start, after all, it's a commandment, it's not even a suggestion, we can start accepting it. This command is with authority, so that's helpful for me.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is. It's a commandment, not a suggestion. And anyone who missed yesterday's Bible study, please listen, because we get into it deeply, and there'll be many more discussions on the commandments. So, and then with this, I always think of pond and purpose, because pond and purpose gives the three stages, and pond and purpose is in Prose Work by Mary Baker Eddy, and it starts off with saying you've got to realize how vile what is.
Depravity.
Depravity.
A mortal mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mortal mind depravity.
Mortal man.
So, yuck. I don't want to be that. I'm tired of it. It's done me no good. Mrs. Eddy says that mortal mind has not been kind enough to me that I would want to linger in it. Either linger or loiter. I think it's linger. Anyway. And so it is. We get tired. Mrs. Eddy talks about turning like tired children to the arms of divine love. So when we've had our fill, Peter's beautiful song said,
you've had your fill.
And you will. And you will. And you will. Then you're ready for this new birth. And you're ready to throw off this old garment that has not really served you well. You might think it has because it's all you've known. But you're ready to give it up, give it away. Not give it away, throw it away. So, and that's your step out of this mortal belief, the human mind. Linda spoke about opinion. What did you say on the forum?
I'm really excited about this because it's been really helpful to me. The definition of opinion is the judgment that someone thinks is true. That's from Webster's. And it's used when judgment is not yet final or certain. And I realize that as long as I'm not practicing, then everything is just an opinion. But the worst part is the opinions that were added to Christian Science, just like the Pharisees added all their extra laws of what, or even what they think Christians should look like. It's just an opinion. And Mrs. Eddy says in our lesson that we have to destroy the false process of mortal opinions. So it's really sticking out to me now to really pay attention to what's opinion and what's truth and also practicing.
Thank you very much. This is that old man that's all boggled down with all these opinions. In the first part of Science and Health in the lesson, the question, what is truth, convulses the world. Many are ready to meet this inquiry with the assurance which comes of understanding. But more or what?
By their own illusion, and try to give it pause. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
Thank you. Blinded by their old illusions.
Unwilling to put off the old man. And you can't force someone to put off the old man. They have to want it. They have to be ready for it. They have to be willing.
Maybe they have to be awakened to see that they've been fooled all along. So if you don't want to be deceived anymore, then we wake up and leave the old behind.
Yes, and that is why sin punishes itself, right? It's divine love in action, telling us, don't go there. It's not good for you. And when we've had enough, we're willing to make the change. That's what repent is all about, isn't it? A change of pace, a willingness to look for something better, to seek something better.
So this is why we get up in the morning and we pray, we read our lesson, and we declare the truth about ourselves as God's child, and think about it, imbibe it, bring it into our lives, and you'll begin to see it operating. The truth is working. It's truth appearance.
And it's the putting into practice each day what you read, testing these postulates, test them in your life. And the reason we're all here is because we found that they work. They do make things better. They do make us healthier. They do give us a peace that we didn't know.
And we also found the other things don't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in contrast, there's no comparison. And it's our putting into practice each day that actually proves these postulates to us and results in our actually understanding the truth instead of just believing it.
Because the question, what is truth, is answered by what in the lesson?
Demonstration.
Demonstration, thank you. And demonstration means show how it's done. But the beginning of science and health, it's just wiping out, blinded by their old illusions, efforts to answer, of era to answer this question by some ology or vain spiritual rationality and free thought accompany approaching science and cannot be put down. They will emancipate humanity, free humanity, and supplant unscientific means and so-called laws.
What does it mean to supplant?
But to take the place of?
Yeah, they will replace them in your own thinking and in your own experience.
And, you know, a lot of the rebellion that goes on is rebellion towards this all this old stuff. I mean, youth, as Mrs. Eddy says, youth makes rapid strides toward truth. They naturally rebel against it.
And that's a good thing.
So always be wise and listen when you hear what other people are saying, what they're rebelling against. Usually it's right. The cold conventionality and the materialism are crumbling away, contentment with the past. The time for thinkers has come. So embrace the truth as it comes and let it form you anew, because it will. You know, we're very often afraid of new things or what we don't know. We just go along. McNeil Young says we get in a rut and keep on rutting. So we have to be willing to
embrace change.
Get off the hamster wheel and move on.
That's it.
And well, yeah, and that requires an attitude, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It requires a certain expectation. Because if you're unwilling to embrace change, what does it show about your expectation? You have a negative expectation. Your expectation is not of the Lord, where it's supposed to be. If your expectation is of the Lord, you'll be willing and flexible to do whatever divine mind gives you to do. And you'll do it without fear.
Yeah, willingness to become as a little child, Mrs. Eddy says. And what, drop the old for the new? And it's a wonderful passage.
It's an incredibly liberating attitude.
Watch the old false. What is it, Bruce?
I don't have it on the tip of my tongue right now. Gladness to see the old disappear.
And the old landmarks. That's landmarks. What I'm looking for. Landmarks. The false landmarks disappear or go.
Joy to see them disappear.
Yes, like a little child.
I like that little child concept because it's like restore your purity and innocence again, so that you can put in this new truth, what is real.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, your vessel is now empty, not full of all this stuff, preconceived notions. Even if you think the preconceived notions are good, this is the letting it go. It's the beatitude that blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God, and blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That receptive state of thought that's going to bring it in. And it's what Florence said in her forum. So I must accept with the deepest gratitude who I am and live that truth. And you see, if you're really grateful for it, you will accept it and you'll live it.
It was even in the Wednesday readings. The world needs you, and more as children than as men and women.
Right? Yeah, we read it.
Your
yeah.
innocence, your purity.
Preserve
the onward march of progress goes on. But the question is, are you fighting against it or are you going with it? But it's going to go on no matter what. If we rebel against the needed changes, it's like a recipe for pain. But if we take on the childlike approach, joy to see them disappear, then it's painless progress. That he talks about painless progress.
Yes, we should have painless progress.
And we can. If we embrace it.
Because that's with obedience to science. You see, the science of suffering, so...
That's right. And that's accepting this truth. First, just on face value, trust it. And then it starts to work. It'll start working in your life. But you have to start somewhere. And, you know, even with the Christ, Jesus, when he healed people, he said, get up, rise up, get out of your comfort zone. We must as well. I looked up the definition of truth. It's one of the definitions, conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance with that which is, or has been, or shall be. And then it says, Jesus Christ is called truth. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
That's why we have the 1828 dictionary. Thank God for it.
You wouldn't, Webster.
You wouldn't see that in today's dictionary. Jesus Christ is called the truth. So as we study him, we're learning what's true. That's your compass. Bring it back. What did the Christ say? And if he didn't say it, it's not being said.
And seeing it that way helps us see how God is impersonal.
That's right. He is impersonal, the impersonal truth. It is impersonal. It doesn't say, okay, I'm going to operate for Jeremy, but not for Carol. It just operates. The law just comes down and works. Anyone can turn to
the truth and the lie. No one cometh to the Father but by me.
That's true.
Right?
Yes.
And that is the Christ speaking. Not the human. Jesus, the Christ.
And that's why we acknowledge this Christ. It's the only way. There are a lot of other systems out there. Some of them might overlap in some ways to this truth, but it's the Christ truth. This is what Mrs. Eddy based Christian Science on, this Christ truth, and it is the only way. You can't go by some other way. This is the only way. It's said many times. So, again, that's not my opinion. It's the truth.
The way things are.
Okay, Jeffrey, you can read the responsive reading for us, please.
Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. From Isaiah, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Thank you. And Mike and Barbara, too, wrote to this. I don't know if they're here and they want to say anything, but... Well, the essence of it is in... imbibing it, living it, certainly reading it and studying it, so you become it, not just so it's a dead ceremony, which a lot of things have become in old theology, but it's something that you imbibe and live. And it says, let thine heart keep my commandments. So what does that mean?
I took it to mean, don't overthink it. Feels right, go for it.
Well, and when children learn this in their Sunday school, doesn't it come so naturally because it's already in them? And isn't it just a matter of reinforcing what is already obviously true to God's creation?
Yes, it's bringing out what's already there. That's education, the true education really is what it means. I read once that is bringing out what is already in them.
Yeah, and that's why when in Proverbs it says, my son, forget not my law, the implication is, well, it's already there. Just don't forget it.
And when you know something by heart, you've made it your own. You love it so much, it's dear to you. And
Thank you.
Thank you, exactly.
And that's the idea of heart, is the love in it. It's not a dead ceremony. It's not like Jeremy was talking about, intellectual process. It's the love. It's in your heart. You just love it. You know, Parthens told me this story. It's a true story. And it's about a little girl, maybe she was around 3 years old, and her parents brought home her new little brother, who wasn't very old, and of course, the little girl wanted to go into the nursery and talk to the child alone. The parents wondered why. They were worried about that. So I guess they had a baby monitor or something they put in the room. And so the little girl went in to talk to her newborn brother. And she said, I need you to talk to me about God. I'm forgetting about him. Mm. Now, point being, that little girl, babies, children are like they do. They fall out of the bosom of God, I say. They're just so close to him. And that little girl instinctively knew that that little baby, in her, in its purity and innocence and everything, knew about God. And she probably can commune, just as animals and cats and other things commune mentally. I don't know, Parthen said it made him so sad to think that in that short period of time, that little girl felt she was forgetting about God. In other words, her parents hadn't been teaching them about God. She needed to go and ask her little brother. So anyway, I just thought it was a sweet and kind
beautiful.
Of an interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and a true story.
They're so close to God in their innocence and in their purity. They just get taught other things, as we all have been taught. And that's the old man that must be dropped off.
You said it right there for me, because it's the spiritual, the heart is the spiritual and the love versus that mental. And I think the problem is that the reason that little girl had lost it was because her parents didn't even know how to teach it, you know, and how to keep it, well, not teach it, but keep it in the forefront. Because all my life, anytime I had this little inkling, well, that's some voice that, you know, ignore that. There's nothing to it.
Yes. And, you know, this I thought this all followed, because in this responsive reading, when you don't forget the law, when you keep your commandments in your heart, and you bind them around your neck, you write them up on the table of your heart, and then the results are you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. This is the fruit of doing this will bring. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now, that directs to citation 6 in Science and Health. And Carol, you can read that. The spiritual sense of truth must be gained before truth can be understood. This sense is assimilated only as we are honest, unselfish, loving, and meek. In the soil of an honest and good heart, the seed must be sown. Else it beareth not much fruit, for the swinish element in human nature uproots it. Jesus said, ye do err not knowing the scriptures. The spiritual sense of the scriptures brings out the scientific sense, and is the new tongue referred to in the last chapter of Mark's gospel. Thank you. So, first you accept this truth on face value, as Florence brought out in her forum. You're grateful for it, and you're going to start to live it. And then you start studying it and taking it in and loving it. Bind it around your... Thank you. Neck. write it on your heart. Put it on your forehead. And then as you do that, you start... And this, you know, if you think you don't have spiritual sense, this is how you get spiritual sense. Taking in that truth. It's not by taking in all the news and all the air in the world. And it's assimilated only as we are what four things?
Honest, unselfish, loving, and meek.
Okay. So that means you can't go around lying and being dishonest and expect to get spiritual sense. You can't go around being a selfish person and think about me, myself, and I all the time and expect to get spiritual sense. You can't be hateful and resentful and expect to get spiritual sense. And you can't be prideful and expect to get spiritual sense. That's why there are people... Hang on here. There are people who have never heard of Christian Science, and they have more spiritual sense than Christian scientists. Hello? Why is that?
They're living it.
They're living it. Whatever, they're honest, they're unselfish, they're loving and meek, so they become naturally. The truth is in them, and they get the spiritual sense, and they will have a voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Because that's what spiritual sense does. It tells you what to do, how to do it, And this, my friends, is putting off your old stinking self and letting this new thing come over you. And it's so great. You'd be crazy not to want it. So anyone who thinks they don't want it, well, they don't know what it is. So this leads us to Parsons and Gary's forum, which will tell us what it's like when you are dishonest, selfish, hateful, and prideful.
Well, Parsons wrote a great forum on the Adam dream, and he got it from Mrs. Eddy's 1887 sermon. Where she talks about this man began to build and couldn't finish because he was building on sand. A good builder finishes his work, and before he begins it, counts the whole cost of foundation and superstructure. He selects the right place in which to build, makes his foundations sure, employs only the materials and building that are fit and time-worthy. Adam began to build the human race, but was not able to finish it. Adam was not man in God's image and likeness. His foundation was red sandstone. He was a type of mortal and a poor type of humanity. He was unwilling to commune with the divine principle of being and be guided by God. He sought person for companionship and guidance, and that was a huge mistake. So in his deep sleep, he was self-divided, and his better half became woman. And he was afraid to recognize the state of being as animal magnetism. And when he suffered for it, he blamed, didn't he? So this is all the result of building on sand, looking to person instead of to God, thinking that there is intelligence or substance, matter, instead of in spirit. And then in contrast, Jesus came along and said, build on the rock truth. And I thought it was interesting when John sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the one that that they should see, or should they look for another? He didn't say, well, of course. No, he gave them instruction on how to recognize truth. Because that was his mission, was to show mankind what is true, to prove to us what God is, and what God does for us. So he said, well, tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Etc., etc. So his point was, as Mrs. Eddy says, the question, what is truth, is answered by demonstration. And that is how we recognize it. And it requires spiritual sense to recognize it.
And in citation 9, Science and Health, the Word was made flesh. Divine truth must be known by its effects on the body as well as on the mind before the science of being can be demonstrated. Hence its embodiment in the incarnate Jesus, that life link forming the connection through which the real reaches the unreal. Soul rebukes sense, and truth destroys error. Again, taking in this truth, recognizing the Christ as the truth. And I love this too. To reduce inflammation, this is 12, dissolve a tumor or cure organic disease. I have found divine truth more potent than all lower remedies. And why not? Since mind, God, is the source and condition of all existence. Have you ever thought of that? You got a problem. you go to somebody else for your answers. Is that person the source and condition of all existence? I don't think so. You're going, as Linda was saying, you're going to get human opinions. God, science of mind, is the source and condition of all existence. So go there. Try that first instead of last. See what God has to say about it.
And when the lawyer called Jesus the good master, what did he say?
Only God is good.
Yeah, he rebuked him because it was personal.
Now, also in number 12, the first sentence in number 12, which Shardy wrote about. Read that, Shardy, just the first sentence.
When man is governed by God, the ever-present mind, who understands all things, man knows that with God, all things are possible.
Thank you. That was Mrs. Evans' mother's favorite sentence in Science and Health. It's a beautiful sentence. And if you think about it, when you are governed by mind, you will understand. Suddenly, oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, everything is possible to God. It's when you're not governed by mind, when you're in that Adam dream that Parthens wrote about, Mrs. Eddy wrote about, then you think, no, it's not going to work. Everything's terrible. It's never going to work. I'll never get that job. I'll never find that boyfriend. Blah, blah, blah. And why? Because the human mind is a bundle of negativity and fear and everything you don't want. And it never has one darn good thing to say to you. But when you get out of that mind, you let this truth work, then suddenly you feel hopeful and encouraged. And yeah, things are going to work out. Maybe it won't happen tomorrow, but it'll happen. I'm going to trust God. The truth at work. And then, what I wrote about, those pages, 390 to 393, which Florence has now recorded for us, so they're on our website just...
Under articles, Mary Baker Eddy, they're the first articles there, and they're also on YouTube.
So when you want to just listen to it, which is very helpful sometimes, you can, just those pages. And Bruce, you can read that last paragraph of 13.
Meet the incipient stages of disease with as powerful mental opposition as a legislator would employ to defeat the passage of an inhuman law. Rise in the conscious strength of the spirit of truth to overthrow the plea of mortal mind in this matter. Arrayed against the supremacy of spirit, blot out the images of mortal thought and its beliefs in sickness and sin. Then, when thou art delivered to the judgment of truth, Christ the judge will say, thou art whole.
Thank you. All of these three pages tell you to do something. You can't just read these pages. Meet. To engage in opposition. You meet it. Meet meets means, you know, if you meet something, you're not just sitting back and letting it happen. You rise. Ascend. Get up. Leave the place of sleep or rest. Be it mental or physical. God directs you, but get going. Overthrow, to demolish, to defeat, to conquer. Demolish, that means not even a little bit, not even a little suggestion. Like, oh, maybe it'll come back tomorrow. Nope. Don't let those little suggestions peep through. Blot. And I love this. To efface, to erase, and then to cause to be unseen. To cause to be unseen, blot. because maybe that's one of the hardest ones, or the pictures. So you've got to take strong action. There's a reason why Era is called aggressive.
And very helpful, the article you pointed out by Kendall on body, when he addresses pain, speaking to pain, you're a lie with a belief without a believer, because I'm spiritual.
Thank you.
I have found that very helpful.
Thank you. That's on page 130 in Teaches and Addresses. I am spiritual and so immune when speaking to pain. And he says, I know what you are. You're not pain. You're a belief of life and matter. You're a belief you were born into it and you're going to die out of it. And therefore, you have all this Adam dream in between. And if you go around your day believing that you were born into matter and die out of it, and you think about all of this human stuff constantly, your family, your pains, your little world, then don't be surprised if you've got some pain going on. You can't be two-faced.
Right.
This pain is metal.
What thou thinkest.
It's just belief.
That thou beest, right?
So.
I think, therefore I am.
Yes. So what you think is of utmost importance. So these truths, you take these truths in. Keep them going. It's truth's appearing. It continues to appear. Appeared for ages in many ways and forms through the Old Testament, into the New Testament, into present day. And you'll see it all around you. You'll see the truth all around you when you look for it, speaking to you. And your truth is always your friend. You might be afraid. Some people are afraid of truth, what the truth is going to say. But the truth is always your friend, so you can embrace it and welcome it and be grateful for it. And so we'll end today with something from, it's a little book called The Christian Science Series. It's a book that Tom got for us, and it has articles in it. And this one is called Truth Appearing, and it is by Mrs. G.P. Noyes.
They were the first articles that Mrs. Eddy put out.
Well, thank you.
For publishing, I believe.
Thank you. Okay, so Gary will read a few excerpts from this Truth Appearing.
Okay. Now, as in the beginning, send forth the word of truth to meet the raging sea of error. Let it be spoken with authority, for Christ, the truth, speaks now as of old, and the sea of sin will be still. Truth ever has power to still the storms of belief, if spoken with assurance and the courage of an earnest conviction of its power. Let the word of truth and love go forth to meet the cruelty of mortal mind, called malicious animal magnetism. It has been wounded by truth's appearing, and must soon fall to rise no more. Error shows a brave front, but it is always a coward, for it is made up of fear. Error seems great and overwhelmingly powerful in its apparent magnitude, but speak the truth to it, and it collapses. We must arouse the spiritual man or idea that apparently sleeps, and we shall hear the peace be still address to the waves. Be not frightened at the roaring and tumult of mortal mind in its material expressions. Power lies not in noise. The mind that is truth is silent in its workings, but the power of the living God is with it. The mind of the people now is thirsting for the truth which alone will satisfy it. Let us not, therefore, be afraid to speak it. It is needed and desired. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation for the sons of God. We need not fear for the safety of this course, as in the time heretofore, the young child is guarded by wisdom and protected by love. The idea of Christian Science has increased, strengthened, and grown, until mortal mind can no longer hope to crush or injure it. As in the parable of the mustard seed, what was the smallest of all seeds has grown, expanded, and flourished, until we, like the birds, can rest in its branches and be protected by its sheltering shade from both sun and storm.
Yes, thank you. So we'll go forth wielding the sword of truth. And thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.